Incredible story. I mean, I knew the basics, but not the detail.
If you really want your heart moved, you can go to the website and there's the first video under the video section. Uh-huh. It's 8 minutes long and it's edited down to just show you the highlights of what happened when baby Cyrus was taken. And it's 8 minutes you'll never forget.
Yeah. Well, what my mind immediately goes to is, all right, how do we fix it? You know, and I guess there's no obvious way, right?
So I've thought this through intensely, and there is a way to do it, but it's just going to take so much effort, because here's the thing you got to understand.
And you don't mind if we save this conversation for the private
group? No, go ahead. You feel free to do whatever you want to do with it. So, I tell people I'm no expert on this, but on the same token, I spent the last 6 months of my life living and breathing the research of this and doing nothing but this. I mean, I didn't even work for the last 6 months. I was just doing baby Cyrus, save baby Cyrus work, right? So
right.
I read as many books I could on the subject. There's several books written actually by insiders who are whistleblowers. A great one is a book called Legally Kidnapped by Carlos Morales.
I've heard of him. Heard of him somewhere.
Well, he's from Arizona, I'm pretty sure. And he was a social worker in Arizona. I believe it's there. Maybe it was Texas. Anyhow, he was a social worker. He was there about a year, I believe, and just got so sick of seeing everything he saw, he had to just blow the whistle. And he wrote a book all about the entire system and how wicked it is and what's going on. And so, and the other thing people understand is just to understand why this is so difficult. If you understand that two kids who are two gangsters on the street will kill another kid in order to get his $100 pair of Air Jordans, right? That happens all the time. It was, oh yeah, of course. Yeah. A couple gangster kids will kill another kid for his Jordans. Okay. Yeah. Well, if you recognize that, what do you think humans are capable of doing when $80 billion is on the line? Right. And not just $80 billion, but limitless power, limitless unchecked power.
Mm-hmm.
If you threaten that, what do you think they're going to do to you?
Well, that's what they do to get something. But the other question with the same attitude is, when things get really bad economically, what would they do then?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you this. There's a senator, you can look her up as well, Senator Nancy Schaefer from Georgia. She was a state senator there who was one of the first people back in the late 2000s to take this child trafficking message through CPS to the world. She had apparently a situation similar to baby Cyrus's, or just some type of egregious CPS case, and it moved her heart. She felt like this is something that needs to be exposed. She started looking into it. She used her power and her influence as a state senator.
Is this someone that got killed?
Absolutely. And that's where I was eventually going to go, is right before she was able to expose everything, she winds up shot to death, her and her husband shot to death in her home.
Right.
And everybody who has ever worked to expose CPS, and in Stu Peters' documentary, they show them one after another, after another, after another, after another, all show up dead. That's one of them.
Wow.
And so it wasn't just her, but she was probably the most prominent political voice. They all show up dead. So if you try to expose CPS, you just mysteriously end up dead, or you commit suicide. It's amazing how many people start committing suicide,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
My daughter likes to call it being unalived. And so that's just a reality that people have to recognize. That's how serious this is, because of both money and power. However, what I mentioned on your show earlier is this. Is there a way to fix this? Is there a way to stop it? Well, I am of the opinion, and people could be of different opinions, that's fine, but I'm of the opinion that the federal government is so toast, trying to get something done at the federal level is just an exercise in futility. You're not going to get anything done there. And if you do get something done, it'll take 50 years. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Fight that battle. But we need this to stop now. And to stop it now, the way to do that is at the state level. Because states simply will not do this if they're not getting paid for it. It's literally that simple. Right. And the only time CPS will move or act to take a child away from the family is if it's an actual case of real child abuse, where a child is actually being beaten, being harmed, then they're going to step in and the state will pay for that on its own. They're not getting federal funds for it. So as long as the federal funds are go away, which they'll never go away. So since the federal funds won't go away, the states have to individually reject it and say, we are no longer going to take ASFA funds in our state because they have been the source of financial incentives for child abuse.
Right.
So that's if the states,
cities, and
the beauty of states is that they're your neighbors, your state representatives, they live right next to you. They go to church over here. You see them at the gym. Their kids are in the same school as your kids are in. And so state legislatures, while they're corrupt, they're accessible. And so it's way easier to get hard legislation passed in a state legislature than it is in the United States Congress. So if we can get one state to do it, then it starts the dominoes rolling.
Do you think that the PACT organization is going to be working on that too?
Absolutely. That's goal number two. Goal number one is to immediately stop children from being kidnapped. Right. And goal number two is let's stop it nationwide. But the way I think we do it nationwide is we're going to focus very heavily on Florida, and we're going to do everything we can to get chapters open in all 50 states so that everybody works on their individual legislatures to get every single state to reject this money. As soon as that money is rejected, boom, this all ends overnight.
Wow. So that's a shortcut, and you don't have to reform CPS.
That's right. It can't be reformed. It's impossible. Right. It's 100% impossible to reform CPS. It's just period, end of sentence. It's like saying we're going to fix public education. You can't fix it. It's over. It's done. Right. There's some things you just can't fix, and you have to just get rid of it. It just has no purpose. And so CPS as an institution would be the secondary step. Is if you defund them, if you get rid of funding, so they have no funding at all, other than what the state will give in those most egregious cases, then they're just not going to do this.
Right.
The second step for me would be, first, let's get rid of the funding so that you're not getting the funding. The second step is eliminate CPS altogether. And here's why I say that. You don't need an additional agency of the government to handle what is already a crime. If a child is being abused, that is assault and battery. The police can handle that on their own without needing this extra bureaucracy called CPS to come in and manage it.
Right.
It's pointless. So it's like one of those things you ask, how do we ever survive without cell phones? How did we ever survive, without federal income tax? How do we ever survive? How did families ever survive for literally 200 years in America before CPS existed?
Right.
I mean, think about it. It's so stupid. It's completely insane.
That could CPS be applied to a lot. CPS
actually came about in the 70s. So in its initial creation in the 70s, which I believe was a Child Protective Act of the 70s, this institution called CPS, which in many states is called something different. In some states called like DCFS, like the Department of Child and Family Services. Sometimes it's called DCS, the Department of Child Services, whatever. But everybody understands CPS. Mm-hmm. And so for the most part, they do. So the point is, they hardly had any of these type of cases ever. It was very rare because they weren't getting paid for it. But a bureaucracy was created that each of the states had to fund that now had the power to take children away from their parents if the parents were being abusive, or, the war on drugs really accelerated this because now you got, parents doing cocaine or meth or something like that, and the kids are right there. And so, oh my goodness, get the kids away from that stuff. And for the most part, I think we would understand that. However, they weren't getting paid until 1997. Now, all of a sudden, 1997 comes on and the federal government says, hey, CPS, guess what? Every time you take any kid for any reason, we're going to pay you. And we're going to pay you every single month you got those kids. What are they going to do?
Very similar to the business of killing people on ventilators with COVID.
100% identical in terms of how it was done.
Yeah.
100% the same. You walk in, you got a sniffle. Oh, we got a sniffle. Okay, well, here, take some Robitussin. Or take some tea if you're going to do it the natural way, right? But they go, oh, you got a sniffle. You must have COVID. Let's put you on this ventilator as a precaution. Well, first, we're going to get $13,000 just for saying that you have COVID. And now we're going to get $39,000 for putting you on a ventilator. And, oh, you died. So sad. COVID got you.
Yeah, and now we have an extra ventilator for use.
That's exactly how it. Now, just to see how wicked this is, people have done the math. I haven't done it. But what I've been told is when you do the math for the how much money you get from the Social Security funds, from the ASPA Act, on a monthly basis, by first taking them, then putting in foster care, then on a monthly basis, and then adopting them out. Uh-huh. And then, of course, by the way, to make it even more egregious, if the child can be shown to be special needs, and then you get more funding. You get an additional 20%. It's like instead of 4,000, you get 6,000, or instead of 6,000, you get 8,000, or whatever the numbers are. But to make a child special needs, guess what? All you have to do is you just have to claim they have ADHD and get them on Ritalin or Prozac or any of these type of things. And so now they're getting more money, and these drug companies are getting more money. Well, someone has done the math to show once you take these children, the children immediately go into the hospital. Once they go to the hospital starts using them on Medicaid and additional funds that the hospital is getting paid from the government. And then there's an entire legal system that's all set up around it where the judges are getting paid out of a separate bucket. It's no longer from the county. They're now getting paid from these departments of health and welfare, what have you. So they're getting paid. The police officers are getting paid. And then you've got all these additional legal tools and systems where you've got entire bureaucracies created to manage all these children that they lose. They're losing 100,000 plus children a year who they just lose. And then we don't know what happened to them. And this is the numbers they admit to. All the statistics are given in Stu Peters' documentary, by the way. It'll shock you. Well, they just lose all these kids. What happens to them? Well, they end up in different ritual abuse and sex trafficking, and who knows? God only knows where else they end up. So the point is, when you've got literally, we're talking here about, judges and politicians and hospitals and endless amounts of bureaucrats are being paid, and they're getting paid, and new systems are created. I'll tell you, it's hilarious, but it's not. When the entire process goes through with baby Cyrus, you're like, oh, okay, well, you know, everybody has to have a lawyer, and their parents can have a lawyer, and then baby Cyrus has to have his own lawyer because he's his own person. And so, you know, the government's funding this. And then he has something called a guardian ad litem. I said, well, what the heck is a guardian ad litem? Oh, well, that's the person who represents baby Cyrus, because baby Cyrus is his own legal person. So he has to have his own legal representation. I said, well, isn't that what the lawyer is? No, the guardian ad litem is like the lawyer for the lawyer. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me? Who's paying for all this stuff? Well, the system pays for all this stuff. So somebody did the math, and they said that if you count up all the programs that, you know, families have to go to, like new therapy programs for how to raise your children courses that you have to go through, and parenting courses, and all the rest of these courses they force parents to take that you have to pay for out of pocket. And it goes on and on and on with, you know, legal expenses and paying the salaries of these bureaucrats. They said that the average child is worth to the system as a whole, $1 million. Wow. So they don't see a child and they don't see a kid and say, oh, we need to protect that kid. They just look at the kid and say, $1 million and unlimited power.
Wow. And it's that works as an incentive.
It's a huge incentive. And so that was my other point is, when you've got all these bureaucrats and all these powerful politicians, judges, cops, doctors, et cetera, this is not something they're just going to say, oh, yeah, let's stop taking that money. They're all benefiting from it.
It's a major challenge to figure out how to stop the whole thing. Huh?
It would be like, how are you going to get people to say, yeah, we don't want to take COVID money in our state? How are you going to do that?
It's the same way they're corrupting cities and counties, too.
You're right.
Well, I'd like to leave it on a positive note. I'm trying to think of one.
Okay. Well, a positive note we can leave it on is this. By the effects of the people, by that I mean you guys, many of you maybe already heard this story and participated, maybe you didn't. However, what baby Cyrus's case demonstrated is that when people come together, literally come together, if one person made a phone call, it wouldn't have made a difference. But right, thousands of people made phone calls, and that made a difference. If one person sent an email, wouldn't have made a difference. But thousands of people sent emails, and that made a difference. If one person would have protested, it wouldn't have made a difference. But hundreds protested every day for a week, and we got baby Cyrus back. And what that shows them, that they're terrified. They're terrified that this becomes commonplace. What that shows them is that you and I still have power. You and I still have power if and only if we come together for the causes that matter to us most, and we work together to fight for our rights.
Right.
And in Baby Cyrus's case, it was demonstrated to be true and to work, and not to be a cliche, not to be some trite statement about we all just come together and work. No, we literally, by your guys' help and by the grace of God and everyone's prayers and support, Baby Cyrus's life was saved. So that means that you guys listening right now, you guys have the power to make a difference, but you can't just listen to things and watch things on the news. You have to get involved, even if it's at the most minor level of making phone calls and emails.
So the networks have to be created, right?
The networks have to be created, and the individual people have to personally be willing to get involved. They have to be willing to spend that 10 to 15 minutes in a day to do something. And right. If you will do that, you will save lives, literally save lives.
And PACT is going to help organize people for that, right?
Yes, we are. As of right now, it's the Freedom Man Press website where you can go to, and you can stay alerted to everything going on there. But the good news is that you people listening here, you guys made a difference, and your power is still there. Because people are like, there's no more rule of law. We don't listen to the Constitution anymore. We don't care about law and order anymore. And I agree, all those things are true. But what has been demonstrated also to be true is that the cops and the politicians and the doctors and the CPS agents and the social workers and everybody who's corrupt. And I'm not saying that every single one of those people are corrupt. Like, I'm not saying every cop is corrupt and every politician corrupt, every judge is corrupt. But what I am saying is that there's plenty of them that are, and they have positions of power. While all these people don't obey the law, and it hurts our heart and it frustrates us and it makes us feel despair and it makes us feel hopeless, because, hey, they don't even obey the Constitution anymore. What hope do I have? We're living in a lawless society. I unfortunately have to agree. However, what they do respond to is public pressure and public shaming. They always have, and they always will. They don't want to be shamed publicly, and they don't want public pressure. And so you and I are the public. We are we the people. If we stand up together, we say, no, we're not going to let you stick needles in our arms by force. We're not going to do it. We're not going to let you take our kids. And we are going to do peacefully. We're going to peacefully disrupt every single part of your life until you stop it. And if you and I realize that that works, when we come together and we make that happen, right, we can literally, issue by issue, slowly change America. I will also encourage everybody, highly want to encourage everybody, to go to peoplesrights.org. This is the network that Ammon Bundy founded, and People's Rights was instrumental in saving Baby Cyrus. And all this is a network. It's a communication tool is all it is. It uses, a back-end serving system that Ammon created, and it allows you to get to know your neighbors. And it basically is this. It's you saying to your neighbors, I'm going to protect you when your rights are being violated. Will you protect me when my rights are being violated? And we all just agree. And so if someone's rights are being violated, then you can get on your phone, you can hit a button, notify all of the people who are members, and then they're going to come out and defend you and support you. And that's what happened to Baby Cyrus. And the infinite potential of People's Rights to be the last bastion of hope for protection of our rights in America is there. I can't speak highly enough about it. And it's not an organization. It's just a network. All Ammon's done is he's just created a communication system. He's not in charge of it. There's no hierarchy, none of that stuff. It's a communication system so that you and I can communicate with each other based on our geographical location.
So it's all over the country?
It's all over the country. There's like 70,000 members right now. So there's people in Arizona. There's people in Florida. There's people in Idaho and Washington State and all over the country. I don't know if it's in all 50 states in terms of existing membership, but I know it's available in all 50 states.
Wow. Sounds very valuable. We had Ammon's father on the show.
Oh, fantastic.
Quite a while back.
Clive, and yeah, he's a wonderful guy.
Yeah. And who was the man that got killed in Oregon?
That was Lavoie Finicum.
Yeah, he was on at the same time.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
We need to ask Ammon to come back.
Wow. Yeah, you definitely need to get him on here. He's running for governor, and he's got a shot at winning, brother. So wow. It would be great to have him on your show.
Wow, good idea. We need to support that. Okay, well, thanks for letting us keep you up so late. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It. And also, when you go, you said you were going to Chiapas at some point.
It's August. Yeah. So probably at the either end of October, beginning of November.
Okay. If you happen to have time and you want to share some travelogue information from down there, comparing and contrasting to the environment you've been talking about in the U.S.
Sure.
A lot of people would be interested in that.
Sure. We could talk about that at any other time you want as well. I know Mexico very well. I've been all over the country from tip to tip. I've been to like almost 40 cities and 6 different states. So I plan on traveling throughout the rest of the states, doing the consulting work we talked about earlier. There's 32 states in Mexico. Not all of them are centers of manufacturing. So I might not go to some of those places, but in any event. I love Mexico and I'll be traveling all over there. So I'm happy to share whatever information I get.
Well,
with you
know, like you said, the picture that people here have of Mexico is completely unrealistic.
And it's completely the opposite of the truth. It's humorous because if you go to Europe or you go to South America and you ask someone Mexico, what do you think of Mexico? Instantly, the first thing they think of is paradise, beaches. The rest of the world looks at Mexico the same way we look at Hawaii and Fiji. Okay.
Wow.
So when I say Hawaii and Fiji, what impression do you have in your mind? That's how the rest of the world looks at Mexico. But in the United States, our vision of Mexico is some brown guy with a big mustache and a sombrero walking on a dirt road with a burro carrying his stuff and poverty and drugs and corruption everywhere. And that's the picture and the image we have of Mexico.
Well,
it's a caricature of what it's like in real life.
Drug cartels are a big part of it.
Yeah, drug cartels are a big part of it, but it's mostly American media propaganda that really propagates.
The image of the drug cartels is the image of the drug cartels is really blown up.
Yep.
Well, I know you work 24 hours a day or close to it, so I don't want to bother you too much, but there are things we can talk about.
You got my contact information and you got my email there. And so we're happy to connect whenever you want to, brother. And we really appreciate you having us on the show.
Well, spectacular presentation. I really appreciate it.
You got it, my friend. You guys have a good night.
All the issues, Diego, on your website seem like they're chosen to be the most important things.
That's right.
So, all right. Have a good rest tonight.
Take care, brother. You guys have a good night.